Welcome to the Southwest Columbus Ham Radio Club, 2-meter information net. My name is John Kilo 8, Bravo Alpha Tango, net control for this evening. Repeat every Thursday at 8:30 p.m. on this repeater. If there is any emergency or priority traffic at this time, please contact net control. Since there is no emergency or priority traffic, we will now take check-ins for this evening's net. Are there any check-ins?
W8NGA, mark me in now, please. I'm in the car. N8TFC, Terry.
KD8OCT, Dave.
NCR, James.
C8YPD.
November 8, Yankee Mike Tango.
Greg, in and out, Terry, Dave, Joe, Doug, and Jay. And then there was another one in there that I think said CRJ of some sort. Could you come back with your call again, please?
Wait, in CRJ.
Got you. Any more check-ins for the Southwest Columbus 2-meter information net? Good evening, gentlemen. Welcome to the Southwest Columbus Ham Radio Club 2-meter information net. And since this is an information net, I have some information for you this evening. Tonight I would like to talk about Drake radios. The introduction will take about 2 minutes. Graduating in the early 1930s, Robert L. Drake was first employed by DARAD, that's Dayton Radio Company, in the engineering department. He later went to work for the Bendix Corporation in their aviation department. Mr. Bill Lear of Lear Jet Frame then hired Mr. Drake to work for his company, which was Learavia, in the engineering department. In 1943, Mr. Drake decided to start his own company and leave his secure position at Learavia. The company began as a manufacturer of low-pass and high-pass filters for the government and the amateur radio market. And after World War II, they produced amateur and radio transmitters and receivers. In 1953, the company moved its 10 to 12 employees to Miamisburg, Ohio. While recovering at home from a bad case of hives, partially due to a worry about the survival of the company and its employees, he began to design the 1A single sideband receiver. Once the 1A was finished, he was unsure that he could mass produce such a product, let alone finance it. He decided to offer his design to well-known receiver manufacturers such as National, Hanover, Ammerland and Holocrafters. After many letters were mailed back and forth, however, neither party could reach any type of an agreement. The point came when Francis R. Gibb, or Gibby, as he was known to his amateur radio friends, said, "You build him and I'll take the first 100. Gibby was a good friend of Mr. Drake, and he was a well-known supplier of amateur radio equipment, as he owned and operated Universal Service in Columbus, established in 1942 on North 3rd Street. When Gibby became a silent key, his wife sold the business to Tom Harrington in 1977, who then renamed the company Universal Radio and moved it to Reynoldsburg, where it stayed until this month when it moved to Worthington. The original owner of the Universal Radio was key in the beginning of Drake Radio. Question for tonight, have you ever seen or used a Drake Radio? Let's see, Greg, you're in and out, we'll give you a shot, go ahead.
Just pulled into the driveway, perfect timing. Yeah, I have a Drake R4C and T4XC that I used to use. It's sitting on the shelf here in my radio room, and it's a real nice radio for sure. I've owned quite a few of them over the years, but I used to work for Drake back in the 77-78 era for a while. I lived over in Dayton, so quite familiar with the company there. So turn it back to you guys. I'm home now, so we'll catch you later. And this is WNNGA.
Thank you very much. All right, we actually have an ex-employee of Drake Radio. That's wonderful. The Drake 1A receiver was the company's first meant specific for radio amateurs. Introduced in 1957, it was revolutionary in at least two ways. First, it was much smaller than most receivers of the time period. Second, it was designed specifically for reception of the relatively new and increasingly popular single sideband mode of voice transmission. In 1959, they made the 2A a more traditional-looking receiver that was a bit compact than its contemporaries. The 2A had more features, increased sensitivity and selectivity, and was introduced at the same price as the 1A. About Drake Radios, have you ever seen one or used one? Next up, Mr. Terry, NATFC. Come on in, Terry.
Thank you, John, for picking me up there. Yeah, I have never used a Drake. I have seen several at Hamfest, and of course the one that we raffled off there at the Columbus Hamfest, but I have never used one. They are nice looking radios, I will say that. And what I understand is that the older tube radios, actually once they get warmed up, can outperform some of the newer radios. So it'd be an interesting to play around with one for sure. But yeah, another great topic, John, and thanks for doing that. K-8-B-A-T, N-8-T-F-C.
Terry, thank you very much for joining us this evening. I really appreciate your comments, too. In 1961, they made the 2B very similar in appearance, but with improved performance and a new set of controls for adjusting the selectivity, bandwidth, and center frequency. Then in 1963, Drake designed a new line of equipment beginning with a single sideband transceiver, the TR-3. It was designed as a complete single sideband station in a small package. Other design innovations included crystal bandwidth filters and a permeability tuned oscillator, a PTO. Hey, we're talking Drake Radios. Next up, Mr. Dave, K-D-8-O-C-T. Good evening, Dave. Come on in.
K-8-B-A-T, K-D-8-O-C-T. Yeah, you know, when I used to have shortwave radios, and and a friend had a Drake, I believe it was a R4 or maybe it was a TR4, but it was just a receiver only. And that was one great radio, and I've always had a kind of an affinity for those. And later in life, I was working for a broadcast music system called Musiplex, and I was doing some service for them, and looked in the units, and lo and behold, the circuit board said R.L. Drake Company, Miamisburg, and they're still in business. They kind of focus on television distribution stuff now, I believe. Maybe John will fill us in a little bit later on that, but yeah, great American company, and guy actually used Mark's TR4 on a couple of occasions, and what a great radio. Typical tube, you have to turn it on and let it warm up. It's quite a, and it really good ears on it. So, good topic, John. Turn it back to you. K-A-C-A-T, KD8OCT.
All right, Dave, thank you very much for that. Good to know that somebody's actually seen one and worked one. I've seen them. I've never used one, though. Sorry for that. I hear they're really... they're really known for being a great radio. Beginning with the TR3, Drake adopted a scheme of illuminating tuning dials and panel meters on this equipment using the small incandescent bulbs behind greenish, blue, transparent plastic filters. This lighting color became one of the most recognizable and distinguishing features of Drake radios. Founder Robert L. Drake died in 1975. The operation and management of the company was turned over to his second son, Peter W. Drake. TR3 was superseded by the TR4, ending in 1978. Okay, we're talking Drake radios. Next up is James, W8NCR. Come on in, James. Come on in.
NCR. I've actually never used the Drake. I've seen a couple of them. I've seen a few of their products over the years, but I can't say I've actually used one. I wouldn't mind getting one down the road. You know, the tube radios, yeah, once they get warmed up, they can outperform a solid-state radio. And also, another fun fact, tube radios can withstand an EMP. So that were to ever happen, whether man-made or by nature, those radios would still function. Obviously, you still have to get power to them somehow, but there's always solar or something. Back to net control, maybe even CR.
James, thank you very much for that. I appreciate you coming in this evening. This is the Southwest Columbus Ham Radio Club, 2-meter information net. My name is John, Kilo 8, Bravo, Alpha, Tango. Net control for this evening. We're talking about Drake radios. In 1978, Drake abandoned vacuum tubes, except for their use in power amplifiers, in favor of solid-state designs and digital frequency synthesis. New 7 line included the TR7 transceiver, the R7 receiver, and various accessories including two linear amplifiers, the L7 and the L75. Final entry into the amateur radio and shortwave listening markets was the R8 receiver in 1991, a high-performance digital design with advanced features specifically meant for the shortwave broadcasting listening. It was discontinued in 2008. We're talking Drake radios. Next up, Mr. Joe, KC8YPD. Come on in, Joe.
8BAT, KC8YPD. Oh, John, I've never had one, and only seen them in the books and stuff like that, so that's about all I know there, and I'll turn them back to Matt and let somebody else take it. KC8, go YPD back to net.
Hi, Joe. Thank you very much. Thank you for joining us on 10-meter net and now the 2-meter net. Great having you in there, that's for sure. Try it again just a little later, maybe you can get the repeater a little better. Okay, moving on. Today, Drake produces products and solutions for cable television systems, SD and HD video encoders, video signal distribution, and digital television reception under the Drake and Drakecom brand. In February 2012, Blonder Tongue Laboratories Incorporated acquired R.L. Drake LLC reportedly for a purchase price of approximately $6.5 million. However, the companies operate as separate entities, Blonder Tongue in Old Bridge, New Jersey, and R.L. Drake in Miamisburg, Ohio. Many of the Drake receivers, transmitters and transceivers manufactured in the 1950s, 60s, and 70s are actually still in use today.
Everyone's welcome to join us every Thursday evening on this repeater at 8:30 p.m. for our general discussion net. This is the WBHMR repeater.
We're talking Drake radios. Next up is Mr. Doug, KE8OOT. Come on in, Doug. Thank you very much for joining us this evening, and thank you for your great comments on the TR-4 and TR-7. Okay, next up on the list is JN8YMT. Come on in, Jay.
Thank you. Good evening. What you're trying to remember there, Doug, was Communications Unlimited. He's actually in now, but he's still out there. As far as Drake's concerned, I have heard of him, I've seen him, but I've not played him, so I never delved into that aspect of radio. Back to you, NA1T.
Thank you very much for joining us this evening. Great having you in there. This is the Southwest Columbus Ham Radio Club 2 meter information net. My name is John, Kilo 8, Bravo, Alpha, Tango, net control for this evening. Before we go to the 73 round, we'll look for any late check-ins. Any late check-ins, please call now. So we'll go to the top of the list and we'll do our 73 round. Let's see, Greg, WDNGA, in and out. You still there, Greg? Come on in.
Yeah, I'm still here. WDNGA. Very good. Very accurate description of Drake and how universal, universal amateur radio, how they played a part of it back in the early beginnings of Drake. So very good information there. So, that's all I got. I'll say 73 to everybody. I hope they have a great evening here. It's WDNGA.
Greg, thank you very much for that. Yeah, I was surprised in my studies to find out that the place that I've, we call a candy store, lovingly, was actually instrumental in helping a great company like Drake get off the ground. So that's great information. Okay, we're moving down. This is 73 round. We're moving on down the list. Next up is Terry, NATFC. One more time, Terry.
Thank you, John. KBAT, NATFC. Yeah, another great topic, John. I'll tell you what, I was looking at the one that we raffled off there, and it was pretty amazing that they had the copper chassis in there. And that's something you just don't see very much anymore, if at all. I doubt if you did at all. Everything's PCB boards now, so you'd never see that. But anyway, another great topic. Great hearing everybody on the net tonight. Look forward to hearing everybody next week. With that, I will turn it back to Net Control, KBAT, NATFC.
All right, Jerry, thank you very much for that. Thank you so much for your comments. It's wonderful because no matter what the subject matter is, it seems like everybody in our group can come at it from a slightly different way, and that's always great information to learn. I really appreciate that a lot. Okay, this is the 73 round. Moving down the list, next up is Dave, KD8OCT. One more time, Dave.
K-8-B-A-T, KV-8-O-C-T. Yeah, one interesting thing, and I don't know whether it's a phenomenon that, because we're in Ohio, which was where Drake manufactured a lot of these radios, there sure are a lot of them, radios you see at Hamfest. There's some at Dayton, there's piles of TR-4s, and they can be had anywhere from $200 to $400, and that's not a bad price for a vintage radio that's easily repaired and gotten into working order. I think it was so popular for so long that the vast majority of them are still working in good shape. That one Mark had was pretty clean. And like Terry said, I was kind of surprised the first time I saw a copper chassis in there. I thought, well, that was really a cool thing. But, another one of those Drake innovations there. Great net, John. Turn back to you, K8BAT, KD8OCT, 73, everybody.
All right, Dave, thank you so very much for joining us this evening. Great hearing you in there, and thank you so much for your great comments. Okay, we're 73 round, on down the list we go. Next up is James, W-A-N-C-R. One more time, James.
W-A-N-C-R, yeah, good topic. As far as Drake goes, I used to have back when we had the old C-band satellite dish, we had a Drake receiver. So I forgot about that until I just remembered about it. But I also did want to mention, I'm sure everybody's aware, we're trying to get up on that WMNI tower, and that's still something we're working on. Another thing is if we end up getting that or another location, we're obviously going to need funding to get new equipment, antennas, all the other stuff that we would need. So I went ahead and put together a GoFundMe fundraiser. It's basically crowdfunding online, and Dave went ahead and added it to the website. So if you go to the club webpage, it's right there, and if you scroll down a little bit, and you'll see it, and then there's a link. So feel free to share that with pretty much anybody. If anybody wants to put it on EHAM or QRZ or something, go ahead. That's fine. I'd say the more visibility we get, the better it'll do. So with that, I'll turn it back over to Net Control, WAWR.
Thank you very much, James, for that information, and thank you for the public service announcements on our efforts to try to get a different location for our antennas for the repeater. Okay, well, this is the 73 round, and we're up and down the list, and next up is Joe, KC8YPD. One more time, Joe.
KC8BAT, KC8YPD. Yeah, I haven't got nothing much to say other than the ham, Marty, I think we made him feel very comfortable with the net, and I think he'll probably be back next week, we hope, anyway. He'll probably be working on some of his equipment, to maybe get down on two here, about like Terry, K0IEO, he's had some problems with his security system going off, and he also lives on a small lot like Marty does over in that area, so we just hope that he can overcome those obstacles and get on too with us here. So other than that, we'll turn her back to net. John, you had a good net up there. Everybody made him feel comfortable, so we'll turn her back to net. K8BATKC8YPD.
8XJ.
Come in.
Guys, this is Marty K8XJ. I'm on just another indoor antenna. Are you able to hear me?
Can hear him. Marty, come on in. Welcome to the 2-meter net.
Okay, I'm just on a piece of, it's an indoor antenna, it's just 19 inches of the center conductor stripped off and thrown up over a door, so another weak signal night, but this weekend we're going to get something up.
Well, very good, Marty. Welcome to 2 meters, and it was good to hear you on 10. We hope to hear you next week.
Thank you, K8XJ.
Hey, this is the 2 meter information net. We're moving down to 73, where this is the 73 round. Next up is, looks like it's Doug, KD8OOT. One more time, Doug. Doug, KD8OOT. Doug, thank you very much. Thank you for joining us on 10N2. Great having you in there, that's for sure. next up is JN8YMT. One more time, Jay.
All right, thank you, sir. I do want to just let everybody know I'm waiting for a call back from Dave, and by next weekend our 70 should be back up and operational and hopefully improved. So look forward to that. I will let everybody know when that is back up and operational. So with that, I'll say 73s and N8YMT.
Jay, thank you very much for that information and all you do. And good hearing you in there this evening. Okay, before we call tonight, we'll look for any last second check-ins. So we'll look for any last second check-ins for the Southwest Columbus Time Radio Club 2-meter information net. Please call now. Any last comments before we call it a night?
This is Marty, KXJ. I heard you guys talking about the Drake radio company. When I first was licensed many years ago, that's each many is a decade, so actually I should have said four. I used the R4 and the T4XB at the friend's house for a couple of years, and that was really, really great equipment. And way ahead of its time, it seemed like then, and just one tool to use.
Marty, thank you so very much for that. Yeah, I've heard a lot of good comments about the Drake radios, and again, there's still quite a few out there actually in use. This has been the Southwest Columbus Ham Radio Club 2-meter information net. Ms. John Kilo 8 Bravo Alpha Tango, net control. I'd like to thank all the people who checked in this evening. Thank you to Greg and Terry, Dave, James, Joe, Doug, Jay, and Marty. I also would like to thank KC8 MCS Roger, W8NGA Greg, and KD8WQU Paul for the use of the 145.23 repeater. A reminder that our club's website can be viewed at www.swchrc.org. That is Sierra Whiskey Charlie Hotel Romeo Charlie.org. 10-meter net is on the frequency of 28.405 every Thursday evening at 8 p.m. Then it is followed by our 2-meter net at 8:30 p.m. here on this repeater. And on the first Saturday of every month, you are invited to meet us at TJ's Country Place at 8:30 a.m., located at 4048 West Broad Street, where we meet for breakfast. If there are no more check-ins or information, I will close the net at 9:03 p.m. and return the repeater back to general use. This is Kilo 8 Bravo Alpha Tango, clear on the WB8 MMR 145.23 repeater at 9:04 p.m. 73s, and have a great weekend.